Hi, I'm Mike McCarthy and welcome to Talks with Test Meter. Today we're revisiting thermal imaging, this time helping you choose the right FLIR camera for you, the differences between models and the things you might need to think about if you're considering picking one up. Joining me today as co-host is company director Lasse Tonnesen. Having been in the industry for 16 years, he's showcased his fair share of thermal imaging cameras and holds an ITC thermal accreditation, so he certainly knows his stuff. Alongside Lasse, I'm thrilled to be joined again by Jason Cargill, technical sales specialist from FLIR. As one of the market leaders and long-term innovators of thermal technology, FLIR are a global brand at the forefront of thermal imaging. Jason will be a familiar face for many in the industry, as well as those who've watched our previous thermal imaging episode. Hi, Jason. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Nice to be back.
So, Lasse, do you want to sort of give a brief overview of why we're here today?
Yeah. Obviously, we worked with FLIR for a number of years. They got a massive range of thermal imaging products. The portfolio is ever expanding. Having worked in sales of instrumentation and thermal imaging cameras for years. And specifically in thermal cameras, we get a lot of misconceptions, really, in terms of, you know, customers calling us up asking for advice, which is great. And very often it sort of can be somebody with a specific application with an expectation of getting a thermal imaging camera that's going to do the job for them, costing far more than it actually needs to. So we end up sort of having to sort of say, well, listen, you have all these choices and, you know, you walk away with £700 more than you thought you had to spend. On the flip side, we also get a lot of people who call up with a specific application and a budget where you're going to have to sort of say it's not really realistic. You're better off either hiring, waiting, walking away from it altogether. So there's sort of misconceptions at both ends. And what seemed to be a good sort of topic for a conversation such like this is to sort of just walk through the range of these, you know, all in their own right, brilliant, excellent products from a market-leading manufacturer in this technology, get Jason's take on it as well, and see if we can just sort of help anyone watching the video or listening to the podcast, and hopefully at the end of it, give them a better idea of sort of what's the right product for them in or around this range for getting some of the really high-end stuff, and just having a general conversation about it. Because we literally, we have it every day with customers. So yeah. Why not get the man in and sort of...
And he wasn't available, so you got me?
No, that's it. Yeah, so we got Liverpool's favorite son from FLIR as well. Yeah. So thanks again.
It's nice to be in a position to have a conversation like this as well. Because, you know, there's a lot of specification sheets and technological points people can consider. You know, you've highlighted things like what type of application, what type of budget have you got. You know, it is a maze trying to discover or trying to find what camera you need or what solution you need. Ultimately, thermal cameras all do the same job. You just do it in different ways.
Yeah.
And I think from the entry point, which we'll go through the range, there's kind of a natural progression over time with customers as well. You know, they get used to the technology, they see the benefits, they then say, well, there's additional features on this other version or this other form factor or there's... So, and then over time, they'll invest in that technology. So yep. The entry point's really important because it's the most affordable in our range, which means it's accessible to more people.
Yep.
And more people can get to try thermography and thermal imaging as a tool.
Having sold thermal imaging cameras for years, I get the feeling that going back maybe 10 years, that it was, you know, obviously people used it as a problem-solving tool, and that's ultimately what it is. It's something you purchase, you need to ensure, and you hope that it's going to provide a good return of investment or make your job either easier or safer or prevent things from happening, however you choose to use it. And going back, I remember sort of people being more amazed by the sort of the gadgetry of it, like the technological aspect of it, and look at the colors and everything, and they mess around with it. And as we've become more accustomed to owning tech, I feel, and this is for the good, it's gotten a little bit more back to the fact of is what's going to provide me with the best return on investment? What's the right product for me? I don't necessarily need to spend more for the sake of having all these sort of bells and whistles.
Yeah.
And, you know, kudos to you guys. I think the range has kind of followed that quite nicely, where certain things have been stripped away. So there's still lots of different choices, and that doesn't always make it easier, but it's just an interesting thing.
Well, so, you know, from my perspective, I first became involved with thermal imaging properly, probably 2009.
Right.
So that was my first introduction to the technology. Now I'm an engineer by trade, so I've been in the industry, since kind of 1987. So I've grown up and grown old in an industrial environment.
Okay.
And so when I first was kind of exposed to thermal imaging as a subject, you can't help but be interested in it because it's visual.
Yeah.
And so that draws you in initially, but then as you've gone over time and you start to consider, you know, what are people's pain points? You know, what are we trying to do?
Yep.
You know, we're trying to help them provide a solution, ultimately solve problems.
Yeah, yeah.
Now that isn't just a thermal camera, but that's where it starts.
Mm.
So again, when we come back to this entry point, for example, the Flare One Pro, which was the product that really was the springboard, if you like.
Flare One Pro. So that is the Flare One, later Flare One Pro, but commonly for all those is that they plugged into a device.
Yes.
Yeah, into the port, the charging
point. So there was three different versions, wasn't there?
Something like that.
The two for Android and the one for iOS.
And ultimately, they had different connectors.
Yeah.
So that meant if you purchased or invested in a Flare One for an Apple device and then you changed to Android, you'd need to get another Flare One Android device.
Or somebody would... you know, they'd have to use either their work device or their own personal device as a tool.
Yeah.
And you drop it and then that snaps. It was always a weak point with the... It still like is. I mean, those products are still available.
Flare One Pro is still available.
When this is recorded. But,
and that's why it's that entry point where you're looking at the... If someone wants to look at the minimum amount they need to invest, that's the starting point for us is the Flare One Pro. So when the Flare One was originally introduced, it was a plug-in device.
Yeah.
Mm. So you were restricted by what type of connection you had, whether it was Lightning connection or USB-C, for example, Android or Apple.
USB Mini or USB-C.
Yeah. So there was multiple options, but then you were invested in that particular connector. If you change your device, and it was a different type of device, you'd have to invest in a new camera.
Mm.
So that's kind of... We've now moved on from that to the Flare One Edge series, which we have an example of on the desk.
So that's this one here.
Yeah. So that one's actually a Flare One Edge Pro. So there's two models in the range. Will fit on either Apple or Android devices. They can be used horizontally with tablets as well. So if you use tablets within your company, and so a lot of companies use Android, it's usable with either platform.
Mm.
So we've expanded the use of this mobile technology now. And the added advantage we've also included is it's now usable detached from the phone. So you're no longer tethered to your device.
Yeah. So, and it's a massive step forward. I mean, I won't go as far as to say for mankind, but in that entry level range of thermal cameras, that made so much sense. Anyone calling us up today, sort of looking at that, anything that pairs with their phone and using their device or their tablet as the screen and reporting tool, these days, I'd say it makes no sense not to go for that type of form factor.
Yeah.
It is a really, really good product. It's really sturdy
and it's simple. It has it has one button on it, which is an on-off button.
Mm.
It has one socket for charging.
Mm.
You know, battery life is about 2.5 hours.
Mm.
It's robust. It's been designed very much for an industrial environment.
Mm.
And the fact we have two models is we have two resolutions. So you can either have more pixels or less.
Mm-hmm. And why does that matter?
I mean, with thermal imaging, regardless of what type of camera, it's all about, really, it's about pixels on target.
Mm.
So ideally, you want more pixels on your target to get better information from your thermal image. Now, it's not always necessary for every application.
Sure.
Because some people are just looking at condition. So, you know, we've got two types of thermography. We have qualitative and quantitative. Qualitative analysis is basically looking at the condition.
Yeah.
There's three fuses. The one on the right is a lot hotter than the other two.
Yeah.
That's qualitative
analysis.
Forget
the rest. Forget how nice the image looks.
You're not interested in temperature.
No.
It's just there's something not right here.
Exactly. Yeah.
So pixels on target isn't as important then. So you can utilize maybe a lower resolution camera.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, if you're not interested in actual temperature data, you're just looking at condition, the Flare One Edge, which is the entry point, could be a good opening option for you.
Yeah, sure.
It's a 60 by 80 detector. That's 4,800 pixels.
So that's definitely what we say. 80 by 60.
Yeah.
In our language, is entry level.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And 160 by 120 is your, I mean, it's still in the entry level format, but it's a reasonable mid-level type of detector.
It's a really, detector. Yeah, 160, it's 19,200 pixels.
Exactly.
So yeah. Ultimately, you're going from just under 5,000 yeah. to just over 19,000.
That's a good point. So if anyone sort of wants to compare thermal resolution, I mean, the real way to really do it is to take the two numbers, 80 by 60 or 160 by 120.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll see 320 by 240, all the rest of it, and you take those two numbers and you multiply them and you compare those two numbers.
And that's so, the number of pixels you have in your image.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's kind of, so pixels on target is important if you're really interested in a better image, for example. Now, even on the Flare One Edge Pro, it also got has additional technology called Vivid IR.
All right, which is not edge, on the edge. That's
the edge One doesn't edge have that.
Okay.
So when we talk about the Flare One Edge as a series, we have the Flare One Edge, mm-hmm. which is the 60 by 80, mm-hmm. and we have the Flare One Edge Pro, which is the 160 by 120. But it also has on the Pro version an additional image enhancement tool called Vivid IR. So they both have MSX, which is multispectral dynamic imaging.
Yeah.
Which is an image enhancement tool. It allows you to essentially emboss visual details onto a thermal image, which is really powerful.
Especially if you're looking at, like if you're going really high end, really high thermal resolution, high thermal sensitivity, the image itself becomes so lifelike that something like MSX was sort of, as Jason alluded to, it underlays the digital image of the digital camera in the thermal camera underneath it to give it additional
detail
yeah. and visual detail and all the rest of it. And sometimes with those high-end cameras, I'd almost say, you know, turn it off. But if we're talking at anything that we've sort of got here with us today that we'll be covering, MSX was such a brilliant addition to the range. I mean, I remember when it first came out and you were showing somebody an 80 by 60 camera and turning that on, and you could instantly just sort of see a smile and like a light bulb moment and all the rest of it. So it continues to be, especially for sort of low mid-level cameras, just a brilliant feature.
I think even, and I agree totally on in regards to the higher resolution cameras that you operate, you don't need to use it as much because the detail's already there. But the thing you still can't do even on a top of the range camera is see writing.
Yeah, correct.
So if you're looking at a terminal board or a contactor bank and you want to identify, or it could be
switch
identification
gear
on the cable, could be the rating plate on a motor,
mm-hmm.
MSX will allow you to read that image,
that
data. So totally agree, the better, the higher the resolution, the less it's used by professional thermographers, definitely.
Yeah, sure.
Unless it's to see visual data through. Mm-hmm. I think it's important as well that when you showed the Edge Pro before, you know, these cameras have two lenses, a thermal lens and a digital lens.
Yeah.
So that camera, every time you press your phone to capture an image, will take a 5-megapixel digital image and plus your thermal image. And that's how we get MSX, is by combining those two.
Just very quickly then, obviously we've spoken a bit about some of the technology involved in it and the form factor, but from a top level view, who is it that might want a FLIR One Edge, for example, and what sort of applications are we talking?
Well, if you sort of start right, the starting point would be someone who's interested in thermal imaging but isn't too sure what it is and you know, what exactly would they use it for. So you're always going to look at a more affordable range of camera.
Yeah.
So that's the first point. But then it's also, okay, well, how much do you think you're going to be using the thermal camera? You know, what is your main role, or what is the main, you know, type of business that you're in? You know, when we were talking earlier on, we mentioned about automotive applications. You know, that Flare One Edge Pro could be put into an engine bay, for example, to look at something which you couldn't access if it was clipped onto a phone.
And that's a really good point about that particular product range, with the mere fact that it becomes detachable from the screen, which is unique to the Flare One Edge rather than anything else we've got sat on the table and most things you'll see anywhere else. So recently we've been working with a recovery service, roadside assistance for cars, that are doing mechanical checks and things like that on site, on the road. And for them, that was sort of a game-changing moment by the fact that they can look under the hood of the car or in the engine and be looking at their device at the same time, having their thermal camera completely detached. So very unique to the FLIR One Edge.
Yeah, and I think as well, I mean, it can be removed and maybe clipped onto something else so we can follow a process. But even, and again, this isn't something which you'll find on in FLIR material, but you could tie wrap that camera to a monopod that you could then extend and you could really look in hard to look for areas. Mm. You know, you'd be able to look under the whole of a vehicle with that kind of thing. So, you know, it's not something you'll see on our website, but it's about thinking outside the box sometimes. Sure. And the fact that it's now mobile, as in remote, as long as you're within kind of a...
What's the distance?
Again, environment's got a lot to do with it. We say, on the website now, we say 5 meters.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, that's kind of, considerable... you can still have a 15-foot long monopod if you want
to.
I bet you've had people using it for all sorts of things.
Well, again, it's the beauty of thermography is people will always find more applications for it than they thought they purchased it for.
Yeah.
And, you know, things like water leaks, overheating, electrical and mechanical items, even homes, you know, the FLIR One Edge Pro, you know, you'll see images on websites of the door seal performance in a house, for example.
Yeah, sure.
So that kind of 160, 120 detector in the Pro gives you those 19,200 pixels. When you combine that with a thermal sensitivity of 0.07 of a degree centigrade, that's a really small temperature difference. So a 70 millikelvin, 160, 120 camera in that form factor, it doesn't store data on the camera. The camera is the device to capture the images. Mm-hmm. Everything's stored on your mobile.
On but the app, isn't it?
It's on the FLIR One app. Yeah. So we have an app which you use with the FLIR One range.
And that's free.
And it's free, and it can, you know, it works with either the original version still or the new version. Mm. You know, images are GPS tagged on it. There's all kinds of information on there in regards to temperature information. So hot markers, cold markers, spot markers. So a huge amount of information that you can gain on even on that small device. And again, it's designed for an industrial environment.
Mm.
You know, so it is rugged, it is robust. But everyone has a mobile phone now. So people are comfortable with using a mobile. To capture images. And then with that, you can either use the app or the images in your gallery. So if you want to send it on WhatsApp to one of your colleagues without using the software, you can do that because it's an image in your gallery.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that collaboration, the sharing of information quickly. You find a problem at the front line and it's urgent. You can send it directly within seconds to someone who can say...
customer, office, administrator, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the collaborative side of technology as well. That's something we've really looked at closely in the last over the last few years.
Also, it brings in FLIR Ignite, which is the cloud service again. I believe it's free that you can sign up to, and that acts as a file sharing information sharing platform and backup as well for FLIR products.
FLIR Ignite is it's that DNA strand that runs through all the cameras now. Certainly all the newer cameras,
right?
The older cameras, you know.
So is it open to the whole range now?
Not the full range, and certainly not still at the high end.
Okay.
So a T1K, for example, which is the highest flagship possible product. Yeah. Certainly the rest of the range, it's all FLIR Ignite enabled.
Okay.
And again, it's about collaborative connections. So it's about being able to share information. There's also a desktop sync version available. So you can have someone at the front line with the tool capturing the data that goes straight to the cloud that can then be accessed via the desktop software and be analyzed, and reports can be created while you're still capturing more images.
And that problem might be something that needs dealing with, you know, quite urgently.
Yeah.
And it, having that kind of communication, that kind of platform that allows you to do that efficiently does make a difference on the ground. And that is what it's about. It is about, very often, about solving a problem. And that problem can sometimes be more urgent than others, but the tool is there to do it.
Well, it's kind of, we look at a thermal camera, you know, anyone who's listening or watching this can go onto the Testmeter website or the FLIR website or on the web in general and can start looking at specifications for thermal cameras. So it's how far do you take the design of a thermal camera, or how far can you go?
In terms of
developing the
specifications,
technology,
or resolution, all the rest of it. And that's definitely become like a you see it more and more these days, and there are a lot of products out there that on paper it looks, and a lot of them are good products, it's not just about
the specification
of it. There is still an element where it's this look and feel, is quality, and there's the practicality of all the reporting and all of that works.
It's utility.
Yeah,
of
absolutely.
What you've purchased and what you've invested in. Again, the software is part of it.
Mm.
But it's also about the collaboration in regards to how do we use this information?
Mm.
You know, we know what the resolution is. We know what the thermal sensitivity is. We know it's drop tested. We know it's IP rating.
Yeah.
You know, but ultimately, how is this going to help me with what I'm doing?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Because you see that through, outside of thermal imaging with household goods, whether it's, we've talked about smartphones and cameras and things, you get the same sort of technological race in each of those.
Yeah.
And it is just sort of taking a step back sometimes and saying, how is this going to help me?
Yeah.
What do I actually need? Yeah. So on that basis, really, I guess the next question would be, what reason would you have to sort of take the next step up, and what would that look like?
But I think logically, the next talking point would probably be the sort of the TG range.
Mm.
This is a TG165. There's, I think, four models within it.
Yeah, yeah. And the first thing you notice straight away is it's a standalone thermal imaging camera.
Yeah.
So the Flare One Edge and Edge Pro that we've already discussed has to be tethered by Bluetooth to your phone.
Yeah.
And has to be used in conjunction to capture images. We've now moved to the entry point with standalone thermal images that will capture data on the camera itself.
Yeah, so it is a I'd say like a compact handheld pistol grip type of camera. It comes in a sort of a small case, and for anyone looking, sort of might give you an idea of the size. It's compact. It's robust. It's small. As I said, there's four different models within the TD range.
We kind of start with the TG165X.
Correct.
Which is the entry point, which is, again, we have a 60x80 detector.
Yeah.
In that model.
Yeah.
But again, as you move through the range, so we got the 267.
Yeah. Then you have a 160x120 detector.
Yeah.
Certainly from memory. Definitely a smaller screen, but so it is a small compact camera.
Yeah. But it's still a thermal imaging camera.
Oh, for sure. And very much sort of an all-around thermal imaging camera.
With MSX as well.
With MSX. Very cost-effective. So I'd say if you prefer to have like an all-encompassing device where your thermal images are stored on the camera, and want something still within a from a thermal imaging perspective, a reasonable budget, then it's like a good alternative. And then interestingly, so you got 165, you got 267, TG165X.
TG267.
Yeah. And then there's these other two models in the TG range, TG275 and the TG297. From memory, the TG297 has quite a high temperature range.
It does. It's kind of the top temperature range on a TG297 is 1,030 degrees Celsius.
Right. So for anyone watching, that's for an entry level type of camera, that's a high range.
It
typically
is.
You'd be looking anywhere from maybe 250 degrees to 550. So you're into quite an industrial application at a lower price point.
Yeah, we could be looking at furnaces, we could be looking at kilns,
right?
Refractory, within those kind of environments. So it really opens up an opportunity for someone to look at a relatively cost-effective product, considering its temperature range, but in the same compact form factor as well. So it's from a user's perspective, the utility of a 297 is really good.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so that's the range of the TG range, but what sort of ties them all together is we have an app called MeterLink.
Okay.
So the Flare MeterLink app is an app for your mobile devices, which allows you to connect up to seven different MeterLink compatible devices within the Flare range.
Right.
So that could be a clamp meter, it could be a digital multimeter, for example, but it also includes the TG series of cameras as well.
Right.
So that's just something to bear in mind from a utility perspective. It allows you to not only look at the potential temperatures, but also what kind of current are we talking about, what kind of voltage. that kind of thing as well. So,
and it's an interesting concept. I mean, MeterLink is not a new concept. No. I mean, it's still to this day, it does exist on more premium type of cameras at a higher price point. But, and as you said, you got both multimeters, you got clamp meters, you got, so, you know, electrical measurements. You've also got moisture meters.
We have about, I don't know, 15 products maybe, which are MeterLink compatible now.
I mean, just to touch on, you mentioned FLIR's options. The next series that we haven't really discussed is the C series.
Obviously,
the compact range. Why might you look at that over one of the other cameras that we've talked about?
Well, again, let's say form factor first and foremost. Mm. You know, it's very different. You know, it's not a pistol grip camera. If Lasse can just hold a CX up, please. So we can see, you know, we're talking mobile phone kind of sized. It's something that'll slide into your pocket nice and easily. But we have two models within the range, you know. So we have a C3X and we have a C5. C3X has a lower IR resolution than the C5. But the C5 also has one touch level and span, for example. So this is another function that we've built into some of our camera ranges, where you can manually thermally tune the camera just by touching the screen.
Mm.
And that allows you to capture a better thermal image.
Mm.
And ultimately, why did you buy a thermal imaging camera to begin with? It's about the image.
Mm.
So anything that can enhance that, such as one touch level and span, that's a benefit to have. So again, it can be driven by budget and utility and what functionality do I need. Am I looking at quite high temperature contrast subject matters, in which case a lower resolution camera would suffice?
Mm.
But then could I benefit from using one touch level and span? And if the answer is yes, then you then move away to the next model in the range. But it's kind of compacted by name.
Yeah.
Compact by nature. It's a more kind of stealthy product, should we say, which you can literally slide in the pockets of a pair of trousers.
I think, you know, if somebody was looking at, and that's their, if it suits their working day or whatever, if you're looking at for a compact product, you've really got sort of two choices that are sort of truly compact. You have a C5 or C series camera, you have a FLIR One Edge. Both are definitely compact, both of them, so you can carry around in your shirt pocket or in your tool bag, and between those two, again, it just comes down to, do you want to use your mobile device as the main focal point or in conjunction with the camera? If you're wanting something standalone yet compact, and again, rugged, drop tested, all this good stuff, then FLIR C series is a great product. And probably, I think C5 overall are best selling product, at least at the moment, if I'm not wrong.
From a product perspective, just on the C series, and I'm not sure, I can't remember whether we talked about it with the TG. What sort of storage is there available on the device?
There is storage on the devices. I can't remember the exact size.
That's fair enough.
Size.
Yeah, I couldn't comment either.
You need to contact a technical sales specialist from FLIR, really.
So, or look at a data sheet. I mean,
it's all there on data sheets, ultimately.
My point was more, it is all, obviously, the C series, and I think the TG series also, I think we mentioned, has inbuilt storage.
Yes, and then you can connect them via a cable. So effectively, for example, if you look at the CX range, the C5 essentially is like a, when you plug a portable hard drive into your computer,
it's essentially its
own memory as a device.
There's no removable storage.
No removable
in
storage
in the C series or the TG series. So it's plugged in straight to your PC or connected to a FLIR app, and you kind of do with the images and the data what you want to from there.
Again, it's, you know, we talk about file sizes. We talk about, you know, how large is the memory. And my advice is always, regardless of how many images you take, you upload them.
That's it.
Or back them up whenever you can.
Yeah, that's it.
And even if you're doing a full day surveying, I wouldn't wait the full day. I would back them up as you go.
So obviously we've discussed the C series a bit and some of the models in there, but I noticed there's an additional one on the table there.
Yes, we introduced another model into the CX range. It's the CX5. So essentially this is an EX.
I'll pick this up. It's a little bit heavier than the others.
Yeah, so this is an EX rated thermal imaging camera.
Okay.
So ultimately, if you work in an environment where you have to use EX rated equipment, the choice for thermal imaging cameras is quite small.
Mm.
And certainly from our perspective, we have introduced a product with a good thermal resolution, same as the C5. Essentially, it is the C5, but enclosed in a housing, which means it meets the EX rating of both zone 2 and zones 22 for dust and gas.
Okay.
So ultimately, if you need to use EX rated equipment, the CX5 is a fantastic place to start because, A, the industry thinks so, because when it was launched, it won an award at HazardX as a product.
Yeah.
It uses Flare Ignite as well. So you can have the same utility of backing your data up in the field. So it's been a really, really positive introduction to the range. So again, it's a simple scenario. If you're working in an environment, for example, you may be in a petrochemical industry.
Yeah.
You've got zone 2 areas. You need to use EX-rated equipment because you will have signs up throughout the site which say EX-rated.
Yeah.
The CX5 is certified as an EX-rated thermal imaging camera.
And as of the recording of this podcast, I mean, that is the pretty much the only, as far as I know, at least that's available to us, sort of go-to option for anyone wanting to adopt thermal imaging in an EX-rated environment.
Well, it's kind of, there's a perception as well when it comes to zoning. People may say, we've got zone 1 areas. Well, the difference between a zone 1 area and a zone 2 area can literally be from here to the wall of this podcast area.
Mm.
So if you've got a decent resolution, thermal resolution, you can stand in a zone 2 area and take an image of an object that's in a zone 1 area.
Mm.
You're not breaking any rules. You're still meeting the standards. Mm. So the thermal resolution of an EX-rated camera becomes important in that scenario as well.
Yeah.
So, and again, it's been designed very much for the robust environments.
Certainly has, yeah.
For general users, of course, it'd be more the three and the five.
You're not from an environment where EX is a factor, I mean, don't even look at it. There is no absolutely no reason to buy it other than the work environment you're in. And just quickly to recap, so in the C series, you've got a C3X with an 80x60 resolution. And you got a C5 with a 160x120 resolution. So again, you have sort of an entry-level product in this class of camera, and then you've got sort of the C5, which is the more sort of mid-level, more all-around performance type of camera.
And you get the one-touch level and span on the C5 as well.
Yeah,
so there's just, because that's kind of a game from, if you're able to manually tune a thermal image, that's a really powerful thing to be able to do.
Yeah.
Again, I like photography as a subject. I'm not I'm a very rank amateur, but you learn to use your camera out of automatic mode.
Yeah.
Right. Because there's a lot to be benefited from it.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to thermally tune something with the one touch on the screen, that's a really powerful feature to have access to. Certainly at this range of camera as well. So, and that one touch level and span is available on the CX5 as well.
I mean, you talked about this range. We're starting to get towards sort of higher capability cameras, I would say. I can't remember what FLIR's classification of the next range is, but obviously on the table there, we've got the entry point for that range, which is the E5 Pro.
Yeah, so we'd call this the Pro Series now.
Okay.
For anyone who's kind of familiar with FLIR, the form factor will look similar to a very successful range of camera, which we had. Which is kind of the E4, E5, E6, E8. You know, we've added features and functionalities for Flare Ignites now available within the new EX Pro range. But also we have a touchscreen on the camera as well. That's probably the major feature. It's still a fixed focus camera, but we've increased its utility to customers and ability to connect with other technologies.
But again, it also goes into a point where certain customers will have a requirement for things just like an exchangeable, removable battery and carry a spare or even a third battery sort of ongoing use throughout a day where they're capturing lots and lots of thermal images. The product itself, unlike the others on the table, just sort of come in a large, ruggedized flight carry case type of thing that's really sort of rugged and protects the unit well. The cameras are drop tested. In various versions that have been proved over time, these cameras have been in the market for years and are so well adopted across so many industries. And again, they're currently three products in this EX range, all depending on, really, I guess, your application. Is that fair to say?
And your budget.
Sure, and budget.
You know, so we start with the entry point, which is 160, 120 detector, mm-hmm. which is the same resolution as, for example, the C5 is the same resolution on paper as a Flow One Edge Pro.
Yeah.
But it's the additional functionality you get within the camera.
Yeah.
Things like the removable battery, the touchscreen.
Yeah.
You've also got the ability to use that touchscreen to choose different menu functions a lot easier within a device as well.
Yeah.
So it's an evolution.
Mm-hmm.
The Pro Series is an evolution of a very successful product range, which, again, for anyone who's familiar with Flare from many years ago,
yeah,
the EX range of camera has been around for a while.
But I would say that is the shape of camera that you associate as a
100%.
As a layman.
Exactly.
That's what I thought.
And some of it is just still user preference. So, I mean, you will get good performance from a Flare One Edge Pro.
Yeah.
But still, and there's still a good argument to be used for this. A lot of people will prefer to have that kind of form factor. It's just, it feels good. It's rugged. It's practical. Yep. It's just like an all around well-established product. And with talking about sort of specifications of it going up from 160 by 120 on the E5, then you have the E6 Pro, which is 240 by 180. And then to cap it off, where you're going into, certainly I would say, well, they're all in the Pro range, but high end in that is the E8 Pro of 320 by 240.
Yeah.
So that's sort of really getting into what I would say is from a building surveyor's perspective.
Yeah. So you're going from 19,200 to 76,800.
Yeah. On the
E8 Pro.
Yeah.
So that's the difference in pixel kills.
Yeah. Mm. Almost four times.
Yeah. And it's kind of the way I used to visualize this is as a comparison. If you're working with an Excel worksheet and you have 320 columns and 240 rows, you end up with a worksheet that's got 76,800 cells.
Yeah.
And every cell has a temperature in it.
Yeah.
That's the amount of information we're talking about with thermography.
So all I wanted to say really regarding that range is obviously it's starting to get into the more professional higher end range.
Yeah, the next step for us would be classes premium.
Okay.
And again, it's different form factor, different functionality, and we'll talk about that on another.
I was going to say it might be worth a separate video. Oh,
yeah, I'd like to think so, because that's another subject which it would be great to cover with you guys as well. But you know, the E8 Pro in particular, even more so than the E6 Pro, it's that step into a resolution which isn't available in any other of the cameras at this range. So, Flare One Edge Pro, Flare One Edge, CX, TG. We don't have anything over a 160, 120 resolution. So another reason within the Pro series is to move up in resolution with the E6 and then to the E8 Pro.
And just a couple of applications where that might be applicable?
Well, I mean, buildings will be one.
Yeah.
Purely because, again, we talk about lower temperature differentials within mm-hmm. buildings. But also it's just a higher level of detail.
Sure.
Ultimately.
Yeah, yeah.
So
uncovering certain things that maybe a camera with a lesser resolution wouldn't.
Yeah, and it's kind of, I mean, it's a subject for another time maybe, but certainly when we talk about certain specifications, we've not really talked about them today. We've alluded to about numbers of pixels on target, but that's related to the optics and the detector size. So that's something we'll cover at a later date. But certainly you're moving up in functionality within the cameras as well. So the menu system on the EX Pro series is more advanced than the others as well. So there's more changes that you can make within the devices too.
Yeah.
But all the specifications are all available on the data sheets. And on, you know, again, there's a huge amount of sort of information on the Flare site. And there's huge amounts of information on the Testmeter site as well. So the information's out there. I mean, one thing I will say, we do have a lot of case studies as well. And testimonials available, some of which are on your site anyway. So, you know, you can read about real live applications and uses of the technology as well, which they're always a good backup in regards to when you're trying to sort of put a case together for maybe putting a budget together for or allocating budget for this type of equipment.
Mm.
You know, you're building as strong a case as you can to make sure that you get your budget approved.
I mean, just to sort of summarize, really, I suppose, when we're talking about the key considerations then, based on what we've got here today, we've talked about form factor, being a massive one. We've talked about specification, you know, number of pixels. And obviously we've talked about reporting. But in summary, as you said, there's a whole load of information out there, both on TestMeter and across the internet. But one thing that is invaluable to people is having that ability to pick up the phone or have somebody come and visit them to discuss these things and actually be guided through what it is that they need for their requirement. And whether that's, you know, a visit from yourself or a visit from somebody or a phone call with somebody at our end. It's all trying to help find the right solution for people's problems.
I think one thing we've kind of discovered with the unfortunate circumstances of the pandemic is we can use technology now to really connect and communicate with people. For example, let's say Teams as an example. You know, we can have those initial discussions on a Teams call at a convenient time. You know, it doesn't mean you've got to get access to the site. I mean, it's great to get access to sites to be able to show the technology off and it's in the real environment and really show potential users how it could be a benefit to them. But certainly if people have an interest, and that initial conversation could be a telephone call, it could be a Teams call where, you know, I'm in a position and so would you be to be able to, for example, with thermal cameras, we can look at the screen of a thermal camera remotely. We don't need to physically be there. It's a benefit if we can be. But we can utilize technology now to really reach out and maybe answer some questions visually in real time that may, you know, it's not as easy to do on the phone. So I'd certainly say, yeah, just ask, there's not, you know, just reach out ultimately.
That's it. It is a case by case basis, really. There are new applications, there are new questions being asked, I'm sure, to you and to Fleur all the time and to us as well. We try our best we can to accommodate the customer's requirements however we can. Sometimes that is as simple as a phone call. Sometimes informative websites or videos or, you know, God willing, things like this, you know, discussions and conversations can help give people information they need. In case of anything, we're you know, based in Leeds, the numbers on the website, and the same with Fleur. There are people available there to help anyone with questions.
And there's things like, you know, we've touched on before about hiring and things. If people need to get their hands on these things to check that they are the right product for them, we have systems in place within TestMeter to either try before you buy or to hire things.
On certain products, we do. It depends a little bit. So if there's somebody who just has sort of an occasional need for a thermal imaging camera, then I mean, very often hiring is probably a more cost-effective solution, gives you access to a much wider range of cameras. And we hire out some of the products we see here today, certainly namely the EX series. And as Jason said, we have Teams calls with customers and occasionally we do site visits and demos and various other things. So I think sort of the main message would just sort of be get in touch or visit the website or whatever works.
Yeah, no, that's great. Well, thank you for coming again today, Jason.
Thanks very much. It's been, been good.
If you'd like more information on the cameras we've discussed today or some help finding the right model for you, please visit our website or get in touch and we'll be more than happy to help. Thanks again to our guests, and I hope you join us again in our next episode.